All right, we're recording. Here we are. This is the first of the Highfalutin Ski Bums podcast. This has been in the works for a while, and we're finally making it happen. So awesome. March 12th, 2015, day that will live in infamy. We're here. It's Brian, Steve, and Mario. We're here. We're doing this podcast right now. What is this? Why are you listening to this? I don't know, but thank you very much for listening. Really, it's just us. We're a bunch of dudes trying to live the ski bum dream. But we're regular professional guys living lives in New Jersey, and we're ski when we can, and try to live vicariously through others and through this podcast. So,
What I really liked when I read this is how you said we sold out and now we're in the corporate life.
Yeah, which is
So if
actually.
we're true to ourselves, we'd be ski bums right now, back in Telluride.
Yes, we would be back and tell you.
Well, we sold out. We
We're
sold
just trying
out.
To ride the line, like
Right.
keep a job and still keep the ski bum dream alive.
Try to keep it real, but also, you
Like
know.
ski bums incognito. We're just kind of hidden. Like,
That's pretty
Right.
much what
I'm in
we
the
are.
corporate world, but really I'm on the slopes of my mind. So while
Right.
they're asking me to do work, I'm kind of just out there.
And I'm like one more step further back than you, because
Yeah.
I got the wife and kid. So
Exactly.
I'm really incognito.
Yeah. See, I could go on a binge for like,
Yeah.
for a few days and not worry
Where's
bat an eye.
Mario been? I don't know. I don't
Skiing.
know. You think he's
Right.
skiing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the summer. Could be in
Yeah.
South America. Winter down there when we have summer up here.
Chile. Chile
Yeah.
has great skiing.
Chilling. That's right.
Yeah.
See, but I don't save my money. I spend it. So all I keep spending and then just skiing. That's what I do.
See, that's what it's about. So maybe you're not a sellout.
Maybe you are a
Maybe
ski
you're actually
bum.
a ski bum.
I'm kind of a bum. Just, you know.
Right. Awesome. So for our first podcast, we're going to do a review of our recent trip, Telluride, which was unreal.
Glorious.
It was
Beautiful.
fabulous.
They made it so awesome too is that, they had a terrible winter this year. And for the longest time, I mean, they had no snow. We were talking to a couple guys that were local. They're like, yeah, man, like 3 weeks ago, there was dirt and rocks on groomers.
Yeah, we got
So
lucky. It was like, what, two or 3 weeks? They got pounded with snow. They got one
they had at least 6 feet.
giant dumping and then a bunch of little dumpings in between. We got lucky.
Yeah, we had three bluebird days of skiing, perfect conditions. And the most amazing thing to me was just the lack of crowds there. I mean, there was a Saturday
It was
morning,
empty,
we
yeah.
walked right onto a lift in the middle of the mountain.
The place is
Like it was
great.
Yeah, it was incredible. Everything I read about Telluride came to life. I read the story about how the mountain came about. They say, oh, this is the mountain that has no lines. And you say, you know what, I've heard that before. But you're up there and there's no lines. There's three people ahead of you, four at most. And that was over a 3 day period. And this is a spectacular mountain. And for the listeners, we're gonna review all the different mountains that we've all gone to, and try to highlight some of the awesome experiences that we had to benefit you guys on your trip. So with that, I mean, let's talk about the infrastructure of the of Telluride.
Well, but first we talk about what we're drinking here
All right,
because
that's
nobody
right.
wants to do this
Let's
sober,
go.
you
Yeah,
know.
exactly.
So, since we did just come back from Telluride, we decided to get some. I guess they're sort of Colorado beers. The box says, I guess the company is out of North Carolina, but they also brew them in Colorado. So we got some Oscar Blues here. I am drinking a Gneit, which is an Imperial Red IPA I had on draft, and it was delicious. And I looked it up online, and I found it here in good old New Jersey. So that's what I'm consuming right now.
Nice.
Nice. Well, I looked before the podcast for the Telluride Brewing Company, and they don't carry it in New Jersey, unfortunately.
Sons of bitches.
Because that was some good stuff. The stuff at Smugglers was good. I had an Oscar Blues too, the Yellow Pills, and now I kind of switched a little to Sierra Nevada. It's still out west, you know. But
So much. Well, we did drink Sierra Nevada at happy hour the one day.
That's
Got a free
right.
hat.
So it's
We
oh,
got
the
free hats.
hats.
Yeah.
They were
Yeah.
sponsoring that Subaru event. So,
Yes.
we'll let this pass.
That's right.
So Sierra
This
Nevada
is
got us free hats. You weren't
free
there, so
hats, $3
I was
draft,
busy skiing while you
$3
guys were getting
draft.
free hats.
Right.
So just saying.
Yeah. I was a little.
So we'll begin our podcast every time with what we're drinking. All right. So I have a
This is what I'm drinking now. I'm going to switch to something else.
you're gonna switch that. Okay. So
It's a long
it's
podcast.
nonstop. So we'll start out with the first drink that we had. So I'm having an Oscar Blue also, and this is the Old Chub.
Ooh, chub.
It's a Scotch ale. It's
Chub, chub, chub.
pretty It's pretty wicked.
It's pretty heavy. I just had one before, and yeah, I was definitely feeling that beer. Very tasty, though.
Little pizza, a little salad.
And they had the old chub. They had the old chub, and they also have it in cans with the nitro, like the Guinness. Nitro. So you can get it with a little bit of the gas in there.
I like that.
So it's taller, and I guess that's.
So you know what the word chub is used in Wisconsin? It's a really cold area. So I do a lot of business in Wisconsin. A lot of friends in Wisconsin, and actually, it's a saying for the male body, and it's when it's so cold. Instead of your addendum going out, it actually goes in and then wide. And they call that a chub.
Chub on.
So that's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from.
Nice. Wow. But now, what is chub? But why the old chub?
Well, I don't know if in North Carolina they thought of that. Weathered, that's how I knew the word.
Old guy with the chub?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, weathered old chub?
So it's like, well, how was last night? And they're like, well, I don't know. I had the chub. Man, it was so cold. I had a chubby.
Gotta warm that up.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh. Wisconsin. God bless y'all.
Hey, they got ski resorts in Wisconsin.
Do they?
Yeah, sure. A couple of them, yeah.
That's where, Tom said he was just there with his family. Yeah,
that's right.
One of the guys that was on the trip with us, he's from that area. And yeah, so there's a.
Got some fine ski areas in New Jersey, too. Mountain Creek.
The Creek. Can't beat the Creek. Right. Snowboarding.
Creek, if you want to sponsor us, we're happy to you know, come there and, you know, record a podcast live and drink some of your beer. So we love the Creek. We had great times there.
That's right.
Yeah. Talk to the world about what the Creek has to offer.
Yeah.
It is really a snowboarding mountain.
It is, yeah, very snowboard focused. They got a really awesome terrain park, actually.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much one side of the whole mountain is all terrain park.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk Telluride.
Telluride. Oh, it's still a Telluride hangover this whole week. It's just been.
Yeah, sometimes I think I'm still in Telluride.
Yeah.
And then I realize I'm like at work.
I've been showing photos to everybody. I'm like, see, it's like an old mining town, and we saw Kurt Russell, and Quentin Tarantino was there drunk, allegedly.
That's right, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just...
Shaking. He wasn't shaking, though.
He wasn't shaking?
He was shaking a little. I'm sure he was shaking.
It was fun to see them all around town. Just I guess they're closing up their movie. Was it
The Hateful Eight. Yeah, they were just finishing up the movie, and we heard people talking on the gondola. There was a big rap party that night, and... You know, we weren't invited, you know, somehow.
It's a fine place to have a movie, though, I tell you. That's what it is. Beautiful. It's like a small town still. Like, they preserved it. Even reading the articles about how they set it up where expand Mountain Village, but don't crowd up that downtown. It's still a nice little western town.
I mean, I must have told 100 people, you know, when I'm walking in the town, this quaint town, and any place you were in the town, you could see the mountains. And they were so smart to not allow big business to come in and expand the roofs more than two stories.
Yeah.
I mean, anywhere you go in the town, you just look up and you see these gorgeous mountains on either side of the main street.
I took that really nice picture at sunset, and you see the old town. It's like, you know, this could have been a few years, you know, a bunch of years back. It hasn't changed much.
Yeah, we'll post that picture on Twitter later. You can actually follow us on Twitter at Ski Bum Podcast, or you can also email us in at skibumpodcast@gmail.com. So look out for that picture. We'll have it up there. You can check it out. I've also got a cool picture of, you know, when we were downtown, we were walking around, and we looked to the left, and we saw, I guess it's the City Hall area. They had a Christmas tree, but the tree was fake and made of old skis. Ski tree, which, I mean, that's
as
just,
real as you can get.
That's
though.
Just
for
awesome.
Me. That's a real tree.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah,
that's the you know, famous ski tree that only grows in Telluride. You got to go there to see it.
It's exotic. It's beautiful.
It's there all year round too.
All year round.
Were you guys disappointed there wasn't snowboards on that tree?
Oh, totally disappointed. Yeah.
I think maybe a snowboard tree will pop up one of these days.
I mean, it might be a snowboard bush. You know.
Yeah, you can think of a ski as a skinny snowboard.
That's
you know,
true. Right.
If you really
right.
want to make yourself feel better.
Right. The ski tree, yeah, the ski tree is pretty awesome.
You never see anything fun with snowboards. It's always the fun stuff is always ski related.
Snowboards are extreme, you know. Like...
Right. I was just gonna let you guys keep talking.
You know, like a snowboard plow. You know, they'll put the plow in front of like their right. Scion XB. They'll put a couple snowboards up, make it a plow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, because the snowboarders saved the ski industry. You remember?
You know what? You have to. That's an absolute fact. You know, there's no getting.
I don't
around
know if that's a fact, but
I think it pretty much is at this point. I mean, think about how many people. How many kids want to ski? Most of them want to snowboard. You know,
a lot of people going back to skiing now, though.
I think actually, I think yeah, there's a lot of kids that are not into the snowboarding. They're skiing now.
I honestly think it's something to do with age. As you get older, it's harder to do the snowboarding.
What do they say? It's easier to learn skiing, but harder to master. It's harder to learn snowboarding, but easier to master.
Probably. I know that for injuries, which is interesting, injuries in skis happen right away. So within the first couple of years of learning how to ski, there's a high degree of injuries, and then the curve goes down. Okay. Snowboarding, complete opposite. When you first start snowboarding, you don't get injured. Nobody gets injured the first couple of years. You're going slow, right? You're falling on your butt or on your hands. But then you start getting a little bit confident or cocky.
You break out your Beats headphones, and you start paying attention.
Exactly. Put
them on. Yeah.
And then you start.
Does that annoy you when they can't hear you?
And right.
just, you oh, know, I love it. On your left. Oh.
You start doing jumps and rails, and you end up breaking your head.
Yeah. Well, I say too, most snowboard injuries, I guess, are upper body, and ski injuries are lower body.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, there was a good article that you read in that magazine. I read it too, where the ski instructor, she was an ex-Olympian. She's, I guess, running something in Telluride. She runs part of ski school. And she was saying how, like, right now she's focused on helping people as they get older maintain their quality of skiing as you get older, because you got to ski a different way and you got to protect yourself a different way. There's so many things you can do. And then Brian sent that article and that video of that 97-year-old guy just crashing some powder in Utah. And it's like, it's awesome.
Yeah, I forget who put it. Wow. I think it was like Ski Utah. I subscribed to their weekly email. They showed this 97-year-old guy, and he's just still skiing hard. Yeah, you know
so,
what?
So let me understand now, because you guys are better skiers than me. So you being older, Mario, how are you skiing different? How are you skiing different than Brian?
Well, I get more air. Nothing bad happens in the air.
Nothing bad happens in the air, yeah.
No, it's just certain things, you know, the speed you go, the risk you take. I think you got to look at that.
If you have good form, you don't get nearly as tired. You don't get nearly as worn out.
You're more efficient.
Absolutely.
If you have good form.
100%.
Yeah. I think you also have to look at, like, when you get tired. Like, when I get tired, I know I get a little sloppy and I stop. Some people keep going. They just push through. And that's when I think, like, I'm prone to injury, like, because you're just not doing the right thing.
You always get injured on your last run.
Exactly. Because you're tired, you're sloppy, you know.
Or it's your last run because you were injured.
And that's true. That's true, too. Yeah, that was the
when
first.
When I broke my shoulder in Cortina, I was tired. It was in the middle of some, it was like a 6 or 7 hour ski tour. And it was like hour 5, and I'm like, I'm just beat and going down, you know. And I got lazy. We're on some moguls. And I was like, I just want to just get down the mountain right now and get to the next traverse.
Right.
And I got a little sloppy. You know, just kind of figured I'll just go straight and ride it out into some other area, and didn't work out.
Boom.
So Mario just did a teaser. He just mentioned Cortina, and that'll be in the next couple podcasts. We're going to do a total review of Cortina.
Cortina, Italy.
Got
to add the Italy, because people are like, what the hell is that?
Not Cortina, Maryland.
I never heard of Cortina.
Right. Yeah. So I went. Yes, on this trip in Telluride, the first day, the last run we did, the Glades. I think it was the something with an A.
Apex
Glades.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it all day. I didn't really want to do it. I decided to do it. And there was a guy in front of me, this like bearded local, who just dropped in and just assaulted. I mean, he violated those moguls. Just blasted through it. And I was like, well, if that guy can do it, I guess I could do it too. I made 2 turns. I hit a huge mogul. I freaking launched off of it. My ski fell off. It went down the hill. I mean, it was just a shit show. But, you know, that tends to happen a little more often on those last runs.
See, that's where I rewind back and I say, how do I protect myself as I get older? It's shit like that.
You're sitting there having a drink, thinking like, I wonder what Brian's doing.
I'm sitting there like, I'm comfortable with not doing this run right now.
Yeah.
You know, early in the day, we did, you know, different set of trees that were pretty hard. And
yeah, that went off of the... The Black Iron Bowl.
Yeah, Black Iron. It was
off of Galloping Goose and those blues over there.
By Revelation.
Yeah, it was looking really dicey, actually. And I was like, are we really going to do this? And
so why don't we break down the mountain for people?
Let's break it down.
If people are, you know, like, before I went to Telluride, like, so this is my second trip to Telluride. First trip, I was like, I don't know anything about it.
You want to start with the town, like the mountain village versus the town?
Sure, but, you know, just to give an overview, like, you know, I hadn't been there, and then, like, you know, at least before we went now, like, I was able to give you guys a little heads up on, like, just some of the terrain, what things were like, but it'd be good to like give some people like a little heads up.
Let's do it.
All right, so why don't you jump into the mountain first, and then we'll go into, you know, where you want to stay, Mountain Village versus downtown Telluride.
Well, let's break down the first thing that I want to tell everybody is the altitude. Altitude, yes. altitude. You're staying at over
8,700 feet.
8,700 feet.
In town.
In town. You're staying at almost or over 9?
Over 9.
Mountain Village.
Yeah.
Or no, right at about 9 in Mountain Village. Now, the first time I went, stayed in Mountain Village, had problems sleeping, the altitude got to me. This time we went, I didn't have as much problem, but it was still pretty rough. I mean, and you're skiing at like 11,000 feet. 10,000 feet every day.
Sometimes 12.
12. I mean, the 12 peak and a is half, 13. You yeah. go to the bowls, you're hitting 13. I mean, that's yeah. a lot.
I know. Just we flew into Denver and took a shot. A regional flight over to Montrose, and we were kind of like hustling to get from our gate to the next gate. And I'm like, like breathing heavy, just walking in the airport. I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna get messy.
It was actually I'm actually really glad we took the connecting flight there though. Because I felt like it gave us a little bit of time to acclimate to that, yeah. to that elevation.
Just
I don't know. If,
water.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if Montrose is higher than Denver. It felt like it was.
It's gotta be. Yeah.
Certainly, Telluride is. So.
But just the altitude. If you're not used to it, I mean, I'm used to it. I've done it before, but every time, you know, the two times I've gone out there, it's killed me. It's just it's tough. It wasn't as bad this time.
Yeah, because I think over time, the more you do it, the more you get in those high elevations, the more your body kind of acclimates sure. to it. But the first time you ever do it,
but it's high. It's higher than most places. I mean,
yes.
So that's where I want to start with.
Right. So
it's
so
Colorado.
When you think about,
it's many times high, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So thinking about that was one of the criteria when we were thinking about ours. So where should we stay? That was one of the reasons, not the most significant reason why we stayed downtown. Most significant reason is because it was walking distance to all the bars and all the clubs.
Well, you stay in Mountain Village. If you want to go out, most of the time you're going into the town.
Right.
So it's just more convenient. They have a gondola that runs, but
only till midnight.
Only runs till midnight, and you gotta go down. The gondola takes a while. 15, 20 minutes.
And that's something that I don't think it like I certainly didn't realize that before I went to Telluride. People talked about, oh well, there's the gondola. The gondola will take you to the from the town to the Mountain Village. You don't really appreciate that until you're there. You have this amazing town, okay? A town that's as great as Steamboat, if anyone's been to Steamboat. And instead of getting on a bus, like you have to for so many towns, and that's how Telluride was 10, 15 years ago, to get to the mountain, it's just a very, very convenient gondola.
Transportation,
a fast gondola
be quicker than anything
that just took
done.
You right up to the mountain. So that was significant. If we had to take a little, that's the thing. Like if you were staying in town, and you were taking small chairlifts to get to one section of the mountain, and then it took you five chairlifts to get to where the mountain was. That's a different story. All you had to do is jump in this big 6-passenger gondola, and boom, you're in the middle of the mountain.
Yeah. Well, we did. There is the chairlift. There's two chairlifts at the bottom too, and we took the one. I forget what the name of it is, but it must have been the original one for the mountain. And it's interesting because it's a 2-person lift with no safety bar.
Mine shaft.
And you're pretty much going straight up the face of a mountain.
It is awesome.
And if you have a backpack or a camelback something on, it's like pushing you forward. And you're kind of like, I'm going to hang on to this bar for dear life because
I have a buddy that
it's scary.
He went to the University of Colorado and he doesn't ski anymore. But I was telling him, I was like, we went up. He's like, I was like, those lifts? And he was asking about, the different lifts. And I was like, they're awesome. They're all high speed. I said, except for one. And he's like, well, at least it has a bar. I'm like, no, this one didn't have one.
No bar.
He's like, that's awesome. That, because he remembers that from years ago. It's like very old school.
Again, that's what's so amazing about this Telluride. I mean, I can't say enough about this mountain. I mean, that
2-person lift.
2-person lift, completely exposed, very steep, high, just because they wanted to have it.
Yeah,
and it was completely like a retro old lift.
One of our buddies was so scared he wouldn't go on it, so he had to take the gondola.
Yeah,
we gave him a lot of ribbon, but we were like, "Yeah, that's fine. I already took it once. I won't do it again."
It's like the one thing I mentioned about the village versus the town versus mountain village is that it seems like the town is more where the locals are. It's a little more old school, and mountain village was a little more like fancy, more family oriented because that's where all the green trails kind of go off of. There's like another gondola that goes over.
Mountain Village is very relatively new. I mean, what is it, like 10 years old or something?
It was beautiful.
Beautiful. I mean, it's very much like a Whistler or even like what Stowe is building themselves out to be. It's that kind of vibe. But the town itself was just so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, so last time I stayed there, I stayed in Mountain Village. It was nice, nice resort. I tell you what, top notch. It was great. And all the places there you look, they're pretty phenomenal.
The only Starbucks in Telluride is in Mountain Village.
Ah.
So Mountain Village, you know, really nice. But then you go, like, for us as a bunch of guys, we're like, we don't need the fanciness. We're just going to go out every, you know, all the time, go out to eat. It fit us more, like, staying in the town.
Yeah. And actually, you know, you mentioned that about the only Starbucks in Telluride is in the Mountain Village. You know, I don't know this for a fact, but I would not be surprised if the townspeople would reject having a Starbucks in Telluride. That's the kind of town it was. Stuff. Yeah. Right? There was two coffee places. There was
Baked in Telluride.
Yeah, well, that's the bakery.
How are you gonna put them out of business, right?
All right, with the Starbucks.
Yeah.
But there was the Steaming Bean, right?
The Steaming Bean was
that Telluride coffee.
Steaming Bean, we went there twice, and we had the Irish coffees, and they were out of this world.
Yes.
You know, their home, or I don't know if they roasted it there, or they, got the great coffee, delicious coffee, and then with the Bailey's and the Jameson. I mean, it was a nice way to kind of get a buzz, but also get that little bit of caffeine to kind of get the night going in the right direction.
Wake you up a little.
It was perfect. And how often do you get a Irish coffee in a... I don't want to say a mason jar, but it was a mason jar with a handle, right? It was like a mason jar mug.
But I gotta say, at that place and elsewhere in Telluride, they were so friendly. They were just like, and they were like talking to you. And they would make you, you know, you could tell like they really cared about like everywhere you went. You notice like if they had scones, they were made scones. You know, they made them. If they had coffee, they ground the coffee. Like it was, they took a little pride in what they did.
Well, I mean, part of it too is, I mean, I think. The thing that I read, and this could be, you know, completely fake, but it said there's 2,000 people who live there full time, year round. Ski season, you get what, five months maybe if you're lucky there, maybe six. But they said that it's not that the people are really friendly; it's just they're lonely. You know, like they have all these people that kind of come in, and you know, they want to be super nice because it's like, oh wow, someone I don't know who I can be nice to and talk to.
So maybe you show them the Aztec Warrior once in a while, but you know,
allegedly,
it happens.
Yeah, but everyone there's like a same thing almost like Vermont. There is that pride, that craftsmanship that kind of everybody in town had, no matter what they were doing. Even the lifties were super cool, super friendly. Always said hello. I mean,
yeah, they had their own music. That was great. They had their own music at the what was that ball? Prospect Ball.
Prospect Bowl, yeah.
All right, so there was a great section of the mountain. Prospect Ball.
Awesome.
Glorious.
There was. Sick bowl, steep as anything, but the snow was awesome, and you could do whatever you wanted on that hill. No matter how steep it was, you were still able to carve any kind of turn you wanted to because there was no ice.
Yeah, it was.
And this is without powder. This is just great snow.
We got lucky with conditions, but you know, if you break down the mountain, like so, I didn't ski the bowl till this time we went. The last time I went. They got 4 feet of snow when we flew in. We were there for a week. They're blasting all week for avalanche. And that's a real deal. Like, if they say there's avalanche warning, stay the hell away from there. I mean, I wouldn't mess with it because it'll happen. We even saw on the top of Palmyra Peak, either side, they blasted. And those weren't just, like, little avalanche streaks. They were, like, a major avalanche. They blew out.
Like a canyon of blown avalanche snow, yeah.
It was pretty severe, so...
Yeah, we heard a bunch of popping the first day, I think, but not too much.
The best is when it scares the hell out of you, because sometimes, every once in a while, they'll blow off something really big, and you're like, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of great skiing. So they have the bowls, and then they have the regular areas. So to break it down, the bowls are great if they're open. It's like wide open skiing, Prospect Bowl, and what's the other ones?
The Black Iron Bowl?
Black Iron Bowl, it doesn't seem like a bowl. It seems like a bowl off of the side of the regular area. Yeah, you know?
And that thing is just so steep.
Yeah, I mean, Prospect's like off on its own, so it's kind of like you're in the bowl. You can see you're in the bowl.
Yeah, Prospect was really cool too because, you know, it had the big moguled out, you know, runs. I think B's Run was one of them. And then also had the groomer there. So it's super steep, but it was a groomer so you can, you know, anybody could really do it.
Yeah.
And you needed to take that groomer to get back out of the bowl to get to all the other trails. And that's where we hit our high speed run, where we kind of just made a couple turns to the top, tucked, and just launched ourselves. We hit a we used that SkiTrax app and hit a top speed of 71 miles an hour, which I'm pretty sure was on that run.
Yeah, it's that's a sick speed.
It's just so much fun. And the
Revelation was the big ball that we were in.
Revelation, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Prospect is there, and then they have the
We totally screwed that up. Yeah, the Revelation Bowl is the one that has Bees Run and the Groomer up there.
So I would say this mountain, which was unique to some of the other mountains I saw also, there's a lot of hiking if you want. Like, if you have plenty of opportunities
for backcountry,
to hike,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. For backcountry, to get to unique places, to find your own powder.
Well, the thing that's interesting,
there was a lot
too,
of opportunity to do that.
The thing that's interesting, too, I mean, you go from Black Iron Bowl, you could, like, hike up to, like, yeah. Palmyra Peak. Now, you're hiking up, and it's not really backcountry. You're dropping into, like, a controlled bowl.
Right.
So it's not like
But you're getting another huge run that you wouldn't get unless you hiked.
It's kind of you're dabbling a little bit in backcountry, but you're not really, and it's kind of you're still all within the mountain, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, actually, that's exactly it. You're right. It's not really backcountry. It's really you're right there.
It's like backcountry, but it's really kind of cool.
It's like backcountry light.
It's like control. Like, it's not as scary as, like, because when I think of backcountry, you think about, like, okay, you're on your own, avalanche beacon, got to know where you're going, guide, that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Right. This is hiking, going into terrain that you wouldn't get to if you weren't hiking up to it. You're getting fresh powder, and then you're ending up where all the other chairlifts are.
And you already have no crowds, so
yeah.
Between that and the people that don't want to hike up, like, you're really, you know, out there by yourself, which is great.
And that's one thing that kind of surprised me, too, is, you know, you have Mountain Village. You had a lot of just rich-looking people who didn't really look like they were going to tackle the more extreme parts of the mountain, because the mountain is big. It's steep. I mean, you can really have a lot of fun there. But there's also that whole green slope area on the right side there, where if you want to just
I was on last time. They're pretty fun.
If you want to learn to ski, yeah. If you want to just chill, I mean, there is that whole section mountain that we really didn't even go into at all because we were too busy doing all the
They have a green tree run, which is like, it's kind of fun. It's like a little Hansel and Gretel. You're just going through.
That's
a little
the Enchanted
trees.
Village there.
Yeah,
or,
it's
kind of fun.
I see. I would have checked that. That would have been cool.
And that area, like, well, on a snowboard, it might have been a little. It might not have been too bad. We probably would have done it really fast.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, it was open. It was like wide open trees. But
it's funny, being, you know, from the East Coast, there was a couple of trails where I'm looking, and I'm like, in what world is this a blue?
Yeah.
Well, even of the blacks. So, like, I mean, this is only a single black because they were just like straight down and moguls. I'm like.
Yeah, and the Telluride world, that's a blue. This is a significant mountain.
And that's what you really got to keep in your mind. Like, when you go to Telluride, you realize a black is a black according to this mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere else, it's probably a double black. The double blacks, I don't even think they're just extreme skiing because it's like the really steep with trees. It's just kind of.
Yeah, you're right.
And moguls, yeah.
And moguls.
Pretty much every double black had some sort of, like, mogul.
Yeah, that's why you see people ski there, and they're just like kids and people in the ski school and people in the town. Like, they're just phenomenal skiers because it's a great area to ski.
Well,
it's challenging.
How about the students? They get off the high school students. They have their gym class is once a week, and it's skiing for half the day.
So awesome!
How great is that?
Apparently, according to Trulia, these schools, they are all exceed standards. So it's a very good school system as well.
Right.
So if you want to bring your kids out there, if you've got a couple million to spare on a house,
right,
you can afford to live at Telluride and get your kids a great education.
Well, it's kind of an interesting mix. Like, it's a protective mix. You still have, like, you have very affluent area, very affluent, like, you know, stuff there, housing and things like that, areas, things to do. And then you have, like, people that you just go and become
the real
ski
bums. Yeah, and that was one thing, you know, totally
lifties,
getting.
These people just work at, like, we were talking about how many people did we talk to? And, you know, a lot of lifties, they were like, yeah, I'm living with, like, five other roommates. And I'm like, you're probably in a one-bedroom.
You have
to. But they're living the dream. You know?
Yeah, I was talking to the one guy at the ski shop, and he said, I was talking to him. He's like, oh, where do you usually ski? I'm like, oh, I'm East Coast. You know, we usually ski Killington, whatever. He's like, oh, cool. He's like, yeah, I grew up out there. I'm from New York. And He's like, I just moved out here like 6 months ago. I love it. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. He opens his like shirt up. He has like a Jay Peak shirt on. I'm like, all right, representing East Coast, you know, and just a really cool guy. You know, very nice guy. We actually saw him out at the bar that that night when we went to what's that place called? The
Blue Moon?
Over the Moon?
Over the Moon.
Fly me over the moon. Fly me over the moon, which was, again, in...
Fly me to the moon. Yeah. Fly me to the moon.
Yeah, fly me to the moon. So that was in the town of Telluride, and it was kind of a local bar. I guess the locals go there.
Yeah.
And they had a band, and band was this band Twiddle.
It was awesome.
Who apparently is like, they were super psyched to get this band. They're almost like a fish-ish jam band where like the song starts.
Place. It was like really fun, good vibe.
That was a great bar. They had a pool table, you know, and just the people watching in town is so fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the dude, the guy who's like in his like late 40s with the long blonde hair and the beard and like the dead tie-dye shirt. And he's just doing his like hippie weird dance and he takes the shirt off and he's got a Grateful Dead t-shirt underneath his tie-dye long sleeve shirt, and he's just loving life, and you don't know what he's on, but you just—he's having a good time.
Ooh, hippie chicks are around. I tell you,
everyone's having a good time. There was no fights. There was no drama.
Nah, there was anything but adrenaline in that bar, which was really.
There was no like
refreshing.
Alpha dude kind of like, "What's up, bro?" Like,
not at all.
I'm thinking it might have something to do with the fact that there's legalized recreational
weed.
It could have something to do with that. Because where there isn't legalized recreational weed. It just seems like there's a lot more testosterone. Like, let's play UFC fighter versus, hey, let's just chill out and listen to the band and
right.
hang out.
And they're not listening to the band. They're feeling the band.
Exactly.
I mean,
they're feeling it.
I mean, you could see the way that they're moving. They're like, it's the music's just going like through them. And
the front of that stage. Like, so we, you know, you had to kind of wrap around the other side of the bar to get to the bathroom there. And it was right by the front of the stage. And there was so much pot being smoked right there at the stage. It was I couldn't even believe it. I mean,
so this is like a kind of a throwback crazy situation. I felt like I was my mother and father, and it was like the 70s. So we all know there's no smoking indoors pretty much all in America, right? And it started in California and moved all throughout our country. And now you're not allowed to smoke indoors, and it's a good thing, right?
Oh yeah.
And then. Marijuana is legalized in Colorado, and now people are smoking indoors.
Oh man!
I mean, they're not smoking cigarettes, but there was as much smoke. It reminded me of when I graduated college and went to the Peculiar Pub in the Village in New York City, and there was a cloud of smoke, right? And you could see the layer, and it was like right about head level, and. And that's what it was like. So I'm not sure how long that's going to last, but it was a crazy scene.
I think smoking is illegal in public places still out there. Just depends on what.
But that was a basement, technically, so it was okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a club. Maybe they don't serve. I don't know what the rules are, but like.
I think basically you're allowed. When they legalize marijuana, they're like, you could do whatever you want with this. Make it into a gummy.
Unless somebody
smoke indoors during the bar.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of the edibles are, you know, we had a friend on the trip that, you know, he had a little bad experience because he had too much.
Right.
But I think a lot of people, you know, he was riding the line a lot of times, you know, have a little smoke, have a little. So he was feeling his own little thing there. He's having fun.
Yeah, but there was just no, you didn't feel any sort of like hostility or like alpha male bullshit, you know, like, okay, we're from Jersey. If we go across the street to any bar here, there'll be some guy who's like, hey, bro, what the fuck's your problem, man? Like, roided up, drunk, like. There was just none, that whole bar for like 4 hours, there was none of that.
Yeah.
It was just super chill people having a good time, like no problems, no drama. It was actually really kind of fun.
It was good.
It was a good time in that place. They had pool table.
Do you want to take a quick break and we'll come back?
Yeah, I'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a few.
Here's a word from our sponsors.
All right, and we're back. So we're going to go over a few other things that we enjoyed about Telluride. Just give you guys some heads up, places to check out if you're out there. So first, restaurants.
Restaurants.
Tons of awesome restaurants, both in town and in Mountain Village.
We talked about the Steam and Bean, amazing coffee shop, great vibe, awesome service, just really generous portions. I mean, first of all, you walk into the coffee shop, and we walked in because we were shopping. There's a lot of awesome towns. There's a Patagonia store there, which is actually kind of hard to find.
A lot of good shirt shops. Shirtworks.
Shirtworks. That was
solid,
a great shop.
Yeah.
And we walk in and like, oh, check it out. They have a liquor license.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, we're having Irish coffees next thing now. So that place was amazing. There's
local,
also
local, you know, musicians playing there too.
Yeah, they had a band set up. The place is probably amazing in the summertime too.
Yeah, very cool.
There was another great coffee shop there. We didn't go to it. Telluride Coffee, actually, downtown, which I'm sure was great also. But let's talk about where we ate. So let's start off with the first place we ate, which was
Brown Dog.
First place we ate was Oak.
First place we ate was Oak.
Oak, the barbecue place. Yeah, that was good. Oak is like a. It's got two things going for it. One, it's awesome for après because they have an outdoor seating area and they're right at the bottom of the gondola. So you can take the gondola down, or you can ski down the last trail, and you're right there. The happy hour scene après is great there. Barbecue is also really solid. I mean, we got in late the first night we got there, and I ordered a whole damn rack of ribs, and I just got this massive pile of big, meaty, generous ribs, and they were out of this world.
This wasn't typical what you would get at a restaurant that you would think.
It was big, home ribs.
Big, meaty. Right?
Really even meaty, I had the pulled pork. It was a huge portion, I think. But what I like about it is you go up, you order, it's a smokehouse, you seat yourself, they clean up after you, but it's like, you know, it's not like you sit down waiting for somebody to serve it. Like, you go up, get your food, and sit down. It's kind of...
super fast. Everything came out. Almost like cafeterias. I mean, you went there and ordered, and they gave you the number, like the little number on the stick, and you brought it back to your table.
It's like a cross between sit down and serve yourself. You know?
It was like Fuddruckers-ish, I guess, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, it was, it sat that way.
We had, 5 minutes maybe for food? I mean, it was super quick. And we were the last people there.
Also barbecue. Barbecue's always, like, done. So.
Yeah, these guys were great.
But it was good stuff.
They had a biscuit sandwich, barbecue biscuit sandwich, a brisket sandwich, and then they had a
brisket.
Pork. Yeah, they had brisket.
Brisket biscuit.
And I said to the guy, I'm like, I can't decide. You know, the brisket's probably amazing. I want to try it here. It sounded awesome. He's like, we'll throw it together. He's like, I'll give you a little pulled pork, a little bit of brisket. Awesome.
Like, it looks, the way the setup is, it looks like a corporate thing, but it's like, definitely you start talking to the people, like, no, it's like a family thing. We'll do whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. That place was great. And like you said, it was awesome for coming down off the gondola and just chilling.
Sides were awesome too. Was it spinach or kale and black beans?
They had kale and black beans. They had spinach. They had a whole bunch of other sides.
Sides were all awesome. Everything there was delicious that we had.
Yeah.
Next was, the Brown Dog Pizza.
Brown Dog Pizza.
Now, we're from the New York, New Jersey. I grew up in New York. You guys grew up in Jersey. We're all over the area.
We're super spoiled with pizza.
Pennsylvania.
We're pizza connoisseurs. Around PA. I got to say, Brown Dog Pizza was freaking awesome. Everybody I've talked to ever that's gone to Telluride's at Brown Dog Pizza.
And it was different. Their big thing is the Detroit-style pizza, which I didn't even know Detroit had a style of pizza. I thought there was bullet holes in it. Yeah, but exactly, that was the first thought I had, you know, like bits of M&M sprinkled on it. But right. No, like it was like Chicago-ish, I guess. But they had their famous pizza called like the Brooklyn Bridge. What was it? Two kinds of pepperoni.
What I like about the Detroit style is you could tell they make everything fresh, and they make the pans and they stretch the dough fresh for the day because they ran out. We ordered a bunch of pizzas.
We had three pies.
And they said they only have two shells left. They can't sell anymore.
They only made enough for the day. Everything was fresh. The Mutz, again, we're from New York, right? We know Mutz.
I'm Hoboken. Mutz. Come on. Mutz capital.
That's right.
They have Mutz Fest every year.
The Mutz was Mutz was great.
They had like two types of pepperoni. Like two types. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I gotta tell you, I thought the arugula was amazing.
Yeah.
Like arugula on top of the one.
Yeah, good prosciutto. Types of pizzas. It was really, really good.
We had three different pies and they were all
outstanding. We had to wait, an hour?
We had to wait an hour and we wound up getting the mafia setting, the upstairs.
We were in the office pretty much.
Yeah, they want to make sure they accommodate every single customer they possibly can. They had a back room that was pretty much their office, and they threw a table up there just so they could serve more people. Which
was
their
party room with a curtain? It was
really,
had her on TV.
Really awesome. And even their accountant came in while we were eating because she had to do some work on the computer.
We helped her count the money, and then, you know.
Yeah. Well, what was that other place we went while we were waiting? So we were, and plan on waiting if you go to the Brown Dog. But it's worth the wait.
Especially on a Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
So here's a tip. If you're going into town and you want to plan on eating with a big group or eating at one of these fancy places like New Sheraton or one of the steakhouses, All Red, something like that, plan on making reservations well in advance, like at least a few days, a week.
Yeah, so if you want to go to All Red's is actually, and there's a great story about All Red's. You should definitely check that out. It actually goes into the history of some of the owners of Telluride. That place
really
is
good
right
steak.
Up.
I ate there last time I went. Mm-hmm. Very expensive, but very good. Like, and you could tell, you know, it's you got to take it. It's like in the mid station of the gondola, yeah. But you got to make reservations. Like, I think somebody on our group made reservations like a month or
probably
two,
a month.
3 weeks.
I would think that. Yeah, we wanted to go to the new Sheraton, but you would, again, you have to make reservations before you fly. You know, I mean, 5 or 6 days.
So we went
at
that,
least.
We called that Friday, and they were like, they were booked already for Saturday. It was just, it gets very booked up, and it's they don't rush you out. Like, I've eaten there before. They don't rush you out, serve you a nice meal, you relax. It's great, but.
It looks almost like you're in, like, Deadwood in that place. I mean, it's a super authentic, legitimate kind of old school bar.
Right. So the new Sheraton has, like, three places. So there's the bar place. The little bar area.
Yep.
Then they have a parlor, and then they have a steakhouse, I think it is.
It's yeah.
Like the two little kind of restaurants are together, but.
The steakhouse looks nice.
Yeah, it was a good
steak. It's great. And the new Sheraton, everything was great. Again, the service was awesome there as well.
Expect to pay a lot. You can see the menu online.
Yeah.
But if you want something chill, I tell you, like, we were happy with the with Oak and with Oak and Brown Dog Pizza are just kind of chill places, moderately priced, excellent food. But they don't take reservations, so.
Yeah, you got to just wait, and it's tight. They pack a lot of tables in there.
Yeah.
And so, it's like almost like a sports bar, too. They have tons of TVs.
And it's hit or miss. Like, some of the restaurants, like, we went to Floridori's.
Floridora.
Floridora. Mm-hmm. They didn't take reservations either, and that was a real restaurant, but it's kind of one of those things. You just go, and you got to wait. You know?
Yeah. Floridora was good. I had the paella. It was outstanding.
Very good.
I mean, ridiculously good. Yeah. They also have a smoked ribeye, which is crazy. So they smoke it for a couple hours to get some
smoked
flavor.
Ribeye. You don't get that anywhere.
No, but then they don't really cook it. They just smoke it for a little bit, and then they actually grill it.
Yeah.
So that was
they said
was
they
really
smoke
good also.
It till it's rare.
Yeah.
Still
which
rare.
Is, makes sense.
And then they throw on the grill depending on what temperature you want.
Yeah, it was sweet. And then there was that other place in between the we stopped for a drink. Was it Hunga's? Hunga's Lotus.
Yeah, the Lotus Petal.
Lotus Petal.
So that place had sushi. That was pretty good.
Sushi, Asian food.
Great
like
drinks,
Asian
too. They were known for the mojitos. The
mojitos were good.
Which, yeah, they were really good.
All around town, the thing that I noticed they had everywhere, which you don't find everywhere, are the Moscow Mules. Any kind of mule you want.
The Moscow Mule, yeah.
It brought the Moscow Mule back. I'm a Moscow Mule drinking full right now.
And the Moscow Mule, well, not all of them had it in a nice copper cup. So I think that's a big difference. That makes the real deal.
Tomboy Tavern, après-ski, excellent Moscow Mule.
Yeah, Tomboy Tavern has the wait staff. Yeah. Everyone is an absolute sweetheart there. They are so friendly and accommodating.
So
we sat outside, we sat inside. Food is great. Yeah. Drinks are great. That place is in the best
interesting
location,
about
too.
The Tomboy is you finish your last run, boom, you're right there.
In Mountain Village.
In
right.
Mountain
if
Village.
You're in Mountain Village, yeah.
And then you go to Tomboy, and if you miss the last ski down, you just take the gondola down.
Yeah, so that's the schedule. So you have a great day on the mountain. Well, you could, you know, there is one place on the mountain.
Garancho Ranch.
Garancho Ranch.
Guarano Ranch.
Yeah. Guarano Ranch.
Yeah.
So you go to Guarano Ranch. Now that's just, that's lunch. That's really an amazing lunch place. There's chairs everywhere to hang out outside.
If the weather's good, it's the place to go.
Absolutely.
Because they have tons of like little plastic chairs, like individual
chairs. Yeah.
Plus the big like Oktoberfest kind of tables out
plus
there.
Plus they have a band.
They have a band. And then on the weekends, they have that smokehouse there too.
Yeah, that's right.
And a band. And all, that's awesome.
There's a little bar.
Yeah.
Like a little you know, separate little bar cabin.
So you kind of make your way, right? So like you're getting tired. You go to Guarano Ranch, have a little food, have a drink. Then you ski a little further down. Then you go to
Tomboy Tavern. Yeah.
Tomboy Tavern. Great service.
There's
have another drink.
There's a few places in Mountain Village near there that we didn't check out that were look pretty good. There, next to Tomboy, there's a pizzeria.
Yeah.
Then there's, I think it was a Thai place, which they said was pretty good, right next to that. And, I mean, they were cooking burgers out there one time that we were there, like, out. So it's kind of chilly. You just walk around Mountain Village. There's a lot to see. Like, it looks like there's not a lot, but then there's even the Hotel Madeline, which is that very upscale hotel there right in Mountain Village. There's the Patagonia shop. There's North Face. Like, there's a lot of shops, like, within Mountain Village. You just got to kind of go in and explore.
And they've got, like, a little ice skating rink out there.
Yeah.
They have.
The Hotel Madeline has an
ice skating
rink.
Hotel Madeline. Yeah.
There's
ice skating rink. There's just tons of. I mean, it's amazing how many places will rent you skis. So there's like Telluride Sports, Christie Sports. There's like seven of each of those. Boot Doctors, they're all there.
Yeah, they're all fitted, so you can like go to different places. Funny thing you mentioned about ice skating, though. So while we were there, we're hanging out in Fly Me to the Moon. And they had the champions of the ice skating league, which apparently is a big deal.
It's not an ice skating league. It's a hockey league.
Yes.
Right.
Hockey league. So the hockey league, like, championships. So they have, like, it's a pretty big deal, I guess, in town where they, you know, they had the winner of the cup at the end.
And yeah, the team came to the Fly Me to the Moon, and they were they had their cup with them, and they were filling it with beer. I guess the Fly Me to the Moon sponsored the team that actually won it. And we were talking to the guy the next morning who was on the team in the gondola. He's like, hey, were you guys – we're talking about Fly Me to the Moon, and the guy's like, hey, were you there when my team showed up? And we're like, oh, yeah, I remember you guys showed up. And he's like, yeah, that it's amazing how much beer fits in that cup.
It just kept flowing out.
It just kept flowing in there.
It's funny that you think about this place. I mean, it's big enough to have, what, 6, 10 teams?
They said 12.
12 teams.
12 teams with at least 13 to 15 players per team.
Okay, but it's so a sense of pride for even the lifties that come from just living there. Like, you heard them talking to each other, like, oh, you're going at 7:30? Like, they're talking about going at, like...
How many people did he say watched the finals?
There's like 200 people there.
All right, so let's think about this. There's
1/10 of 12 people teams.
There's got to be 10 people per team.
He said 13 to 15.
Per team?
Yeah.
So you're talking about percentages, what?
Oh, yeah.
15% of everyone who lives there plays hockey.
That's crazy.
This is an active town.
Yeah. But it's like, that's what I mean. Like, you could tell it was a big source of pride and like competition for like the people in town. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool to see.
Not a lot of fatties in that town.
But you run into people from all over doing like, so like anybody comes in, like then they get dragged in and they meet people through the little hockey league. We went to that corner bar. What was the name of that? The corner?
The saloon?
Smugglers?
No, I went with Ryan. The corner, he looked it up. It was that corner tavern or whatever.
No.
We went out and we left these guys. We went out, walked down, and it was like a hidden...
The last dollar saloon.
Oh, yeah. It was a corner something bar or a corner something tavern or grill.
Yeah, the corner room or something like that, yeah. That was one block off of town. Everyone considered it. The locals considered it off the beaten path. Meanwhile, it's literally a block.
But it was like hidden. There's no lit sign. It was
no
like,
sign. It was a house that was converted. There was one cook, one bartender.
We actually thought we were walking into somebody's house.
Yeah.
For a while until we saw like up close it wasn't lit sign. Like, oh, okay. It's a real place. You know, it's a real. And then we went in and it was like definitely like a local place.
Yeah. So cool. I'd say for the listeners, definitely check out some of those places if you want to get a local flavor. And get to have a good understanding of the locals in Telluride. And they're very friendly and very cool. So it's not like you're in their turf. You know, I never felt like that. Like, oh, you're on our turf.
Yeah.
It was nothing like that.
We bumped into one of the waitresses was sitting at the bar that was at the Tomboy. They're all over, like, everywhere. Like, I mean, they're living there and hanging out at those.
And they're all in town. They're not in Mountain Village. Everybody's in an actual town. Yeah.
Yes. So that was kind of fun. True. I mean, you bump into people from everywhere. I even bumped into an alum from App State. I was like, the heck?
Did you know them? Or
No. He was years later, but he said he just decided one day, and this is the Telluride motto, it seems, just decided one day, he's like, I just want to move here. So we moved there, met a girl, dating this girl, and now he's engaged. He was on the gondola with us with his dog.
Nice.
You know, very dog-friendly place. Dogs everywhere.
Oh, I got some video up. I'll post it also of these dogs just playing right at the bottom of the last run where the gondola was outside of Oak. They're just mauling each other outside. Everyone's just super chill. Nobody's getting all upset and uptight.
But all dogs are very well-behaved. Like, it was very pet-friendly. You know, they bring them into places.
Very pet-friendly outside, there, yeah.
You know, whatever.
A lot of dogs up there, yeah.
I remember outside of one or two of the restaurants, they had a place.
Puppy parking.
Yeah.
It said ski and puppy parking.
Right.
Yeah, so the banks.
Exactly. So you just tie your dog up right there before you go inside.
Yeah.
Kind of how it used to be with horses. You know, you'd bring your horse into town, you'd tie it up and go inside the bar.
There you go.
Now you do that with your dog. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, all the dogs were well behaved. It was great to see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, a true skillful mountain. Certainly any skill level will be challenged on this mountain, 100%. And then I would say it has a huge area for families. And I would say that would be more on the ski village.
Mountain village.
Mountain mm-hmm. village. And then if you want authenticity, I don't think there's anything more authentic than this than the town.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right.
Stay in town, take that two-person chairlift up.
Yeah. And we even looked at a lot of places in town trying to figure out, well, where is this in proximity. After being in town, I think we all agree, it's a pretty small town. You could be anywhere in town just about and get around fine walking. And they do have Galloping Goose, which is a free bus that just shuttles around town. So even if you're staying on the other side of town, you just wait at a little stop. But it's very convenient. Everything's very close.
I mean, you're in it 5 minutes. I mean, you get through the whole town in 5 minutes on that shuttle. It's really that small.
Yeah.
And it's, you know.
There's supermarkets. There's everything you need.
Yeah.
A couple supermarkets, actually.
Yeah.
On either side of town.
And there's the Bakes and Telluride, which was a fantastic bakery and coffee shop. There's wheat shops, too. And there's
So two more reviews. One would be Baked and Telluride. So this is a bakery. Look up the website. Crazy history of this place. The guy started out as an engineer and ends up going into a bakery. And I have to say, this was as good a bakery as I've ever been to anywhere.
Yeah, it was
really. And they had like 12-inch eclairs.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
Just ridiculous, ridiculous.
Their stuff is fresh though. Like you
everything is fresh daily.
You know the bakers have at 4 a.m. They get there. They make those donuts.
Yeah, no.
I actually ran into a girl that said she had to get up early and like bake at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, so you can tell legit. It's all fresh.
Yeah.
It's all good. I mean, I think I had a Coke chocolate.
So they're going right from the bars, and they're gonna go to the bars, and they're gonna go directly.
She probably didn't get a lot of sleep.
Right.
But she went right to the bakery.
Yeah, they had baked goods are outstanding. I had an egg and chorizo wrap that was delicious. A donut, my last donut ever because I'm going to diet after being there. All the awesome food. It was like a cake donut with chocolate and almonds. Delicious. Great coffee. Super friendly staff. Very accommodating.
But what's funny about it is it's a Baked and Telluride. There's one sign, and then it's And if you look at it, it's actually a bakery and pizzeria. Because that's
normal. That's true, yeah.
And then, by the way, they serve wine and beer.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
why wouldn't you at a pizzeria?
No. Right. So that was a pretty wild
place. So along with the good food, one of the things that, you know, is a hidden gem about the place is if you're into recreational marijuana, like they have legalized recreational weed. So, you know, some people partake and then they go out and they eat out on the town. Why not? Like, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you ski.
I got in there late. I missed the, I guess the, whatever you call them, the...
Dispensaries.
Or,
yeah.
We did a dispensary tour just to see what it's about.
Yeah, so tell us about that. Tell us what that experience is for someone who hasn't been in Colorado. You're there for the first time. It's legal.
Yeah.
You want to check out the store. Is it intimidating? What's it like just walking in?
So you walk in, you're going to be scared. If you're from this area, you think like, okay, there's something shady, something illegal about it. You walk in, and the first thing you're going to notice is how surprised you are at how clean it is, how legit it is, how just like a normal store, like you buy anything else, it is. It's like going to like a Nokia store, you know, like a Verizon store, just going in and getting
it. It was almost like going to like an independent coffee shop.
Yeah.
It had a bit of that vibe to it. You know, kind of small, a lot of chalkboards, whiteboards and stuff, everything kind of written up there, and super friendly staff.
Well, the one the second time was, it was more like that. The one I went to the first time was more, a little bit more low-key, and it was more, you go in and you start talking to the people about what do you have.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I think at both places I noticed was people knew everything about, like, they wanted to. It wasn't like, here, we're just going to put up a board and tell you what everything is. It was, we'll put up a board and tell you what everything is, but we still want to talk to you about what you're looking for.
So was it like a good wine store?
I would say it was like weed sommeliers were in there.
Weed sommeliers, yeah.
They were very knowledgeable.
So I was picturing
to pair you with what you wanted to have for what kind of experience.
Yeah, because you'd be like, you know, I'm in kind of pain. I'm not sleeping very well. Like, we have the proper, it's more of an indica kind of blend. They had, you know, the sativas, the indicas, and they had hybrids. And they knew, based on what you told them, they would give you the appropriate, you know, formula, yeah. dose, whatever you want.
And it was just weed, or was there other products?
They had edibles, drinkables, and they followed all the rules. Like, all the edibles have to be put in bags when they sell them. They had, like, everything was legit on the books, the way, like, everything all regulated. But I tell you what, and they did recommend. They were like, don't do this. Don't do that. You know, don't take too much of this. Take a little bit. Wait a little bit. Like, so they had good advice for, like, not overusing, like, some of the stuff, which I was surprised at.
That's impressive. I mean, I was picturing somebody with a black T-shirt, you know, scary looking dude back there.
Half of the bag is oregano, that kind of stuff.
Right, nothing like that.
No,
everything has to be really on the up and up. I mean, that's one of the things that Colorado is making sure they do is that everything is regulated, everything is properly sized out and portioned out, so there isn't any kind of shenanigans or anything. But yeah, the shop that I was in, that was the green room. They were. I mean, it's weird going in there because all the windows are kind of covered.
I think that's by law. They can't.
By law, they probably have to do that. But yeah, as soon as you go in there, it's very chill. Everyone's very friendly. It's well lit. The funniest thing to me was we went in there and Cream's Sunshine of Your Love was playing. I'm like, could there be a more perfect song to walk into a recreational weed shop? And you walk in, it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like, all right. I guess we're in the right place. Right? Oh, it's perfect.
And some of them had like lounge chairs where you could sit and I guess try some stuff out. Like they let you do that. But I tell you, one of the things I did like take note of is these are people that it just seems like they're not like making a ton of money. They're just real like actual small business owners that are just trying to make it. And they believe in their product, and they know their product, and it was interesting to see. You know,
it goes back to almost like that craftsmanship. You know, like they care about what they do, and they're putting everything they have into giving the customer the best experience and the best product.
Yeah.
Which I mean, what more could you ask for from any kind of store?
So, did you meet the owners of every one of these places?
The owners is either the owner or like a partner manager was like one of them at each of the stores was working the counter.
Okay, that's interesting. It's not okay.
Because they don't have very long hours. I think it's like 11 to 6 or 11 to 7. So they don't have. It's not like they're open from like 6 till midnight.
Right. They're not like super hard working or anything like that.
They don't really have to. Well, you know,
if you're open late, I think that gives a shadiness to it. You know, like a shady idea, like, oh, I'm gonna get drunk.
Well, I think a lot of it's
one of those places.
I think a lot of it's regulated by the government.
Yeah,
they can only be open for a certain period of time. They only take cash and debit cards now. Because that's
in all honesty, like looking at the other customers that were there, like everybody that went up there was like, look, I'm skiing a lot. Do you have anything for relaxation and pain? Like everybody's these big mountains, you're gonna feel pain, you know. Yeah. So
and
that,
everybody
that was a lot of what everybody's looking
at. I noticed too, like I mean again, we were only in there for a few minutes, but everybody was like in their 30s, 40s, 50s. It wasn't like 22-year-olds like just lined up out
people,
the door.
Yeah.
Older people, you know, which I think that's really a testament to how the thinking in this country is changing, you know, a lot more open, a lot more, you know, kind of, well, what does this really do? Is this isn't reefer madness anymore. This isn't going to make me go crazy.
Yeah.
And become like, you know, think I have lizard hands or something. Yeah. You know, the people's attitudes are changing a bit. And, it was nice. I mean, again, it was a good experience though. Everyone was very cool.
Interesting to see. I'm glad I saw it. And I was surprised at how much better, like, seeing it real live was from like what I've heard some people say,
right.
Demonizing the whole.
That's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, that's why I wanted to understand the environment and you know what that was like. Obviously, from somebody from the East Coast, where it's not legal and it is still demonized.
Well, here's the weird part: is like because they had to cover up the windows. Like you go in there thinking like this place is shady. I want, you know, what's going on in here, and then you go in, you're like, oh, this is a really nice place, but. You know, they have to cover up the windows.
I've been to plenty of liquor stores that felt way shadier than that place.
Yeah,
and
I can
the clientele
that.
Of those liquor stores have been way shadier than the people that were in that
yes.
shop.
Right.
So it's again, I mean, overall that town is just fantastic. I mean, if you were gonna be a ski bum, I mean, we've been to a few places, that is a fantastic place to do it.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume that I wasn't the only one that I was on the plane ride back thinking about how I can move out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I took a real estate book and I was thinking to myself, well, you know what? Maybe I could sell real estate.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only downside to the town. If you did want to live out there, it is crazy expensive because, like we kind of mentioned earlier, the town is it's pretty small. And you know, we talked to a few people, and they're saying that in the actual town of Telluride, it's 90% built out already. So there isn't too much, you know, for them to build out because it is all surrounded by state land. Mountain Village, on the other hand, has a little bit more. I guess they're about 50% built out. 50%. So they're still going to be building out there, but the vibe is very different up there than it is down in the town itself. And I think if you were living out there, you'd want to be in the town.
Yeah.
I don't
see, at least right now.
Mountain Village is really more the vacation-y kind of
people. I mean, honestly, it depends on how, like, I would like to see, like, 10 years from now, Telluride, like, the town probably isn't going to be built up as much. Mountain Village is going to change dramatically.
Well, that's true, right.
Yeah. So to see that transformation, I mean, Mountain Village might be the up-and-coming place in a few years. You never know.
That's true.
That is true. I mean, the Mountain Village, like Brian said, is only 50% built out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be double the size. And I mean, they could do spectacular things. And
it's a good size now. I mean, yeah. it's pretty big now. And you have all these crazy houses that are kind of sprinkled all over the mountain. I mean, these are like $7, $8, $10, $20 million homes that are sprinkled on the mountain. And it's that's if you really want to do it, and you could, that's the way to do it. But being in town is just
it's cool. such a nice, cool, safe little town. The only time I saw cops was at the end of, like, we closed the Fly Me to the Moon. Some of us did. And there was... So, but, you know, the cops are there because everybody's exiting. That was, like, the only time I saw cops, and everybody was, like, nice and calm exiting. It was just, but it was crowd control because there was a lot of people. And that was, you know, it didn't seem like there's much, you know, to worry about in the town. It was very, very nice. Kurt Russell was walking on the town.
He was carrying a box.
We saw him. We stopped. We you know.
So there was no angry guys? Or, you know, didn't meet any girl that night? There was none of that atmosphere?
None of that. There was no, you know, there's no roid raging.
No alpha male nonsense. Like, yeah, it was just chilling. Just a very, very great vibe, a great attitude, great people, great mountain. I mean, just great everything.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, what we're all saying, all three of us, would probably give Telluride, what, like a 9, 9.5?
9.5, 10 out of 10. I mean, amazing, amazing mountain, amazing place.
So out of all the places you've been, would you put Telluride in the top 5?
Right now, I'd say Telluride is number 1. All
right.
And it's for the reasons that it was very well planned. You can tell that the visionaries that, and you could read this online, there's 2 or 3 owners of Telluride that got it to where it is today. And every one of them had the vision that they wanted this to always be a great, quaint town. They always wanted it to be authentic. They wanted it to be about skiing, but about the atmosphere, and they really held true to that. And the division of the town and the Mountain Village is really, you could see that.
Yeah.
So I mean, for that, the challenging skiing, really. I mean, it's the only place that I really left and said, "Geez, would I really consider changing jobs, possibly moving out
That's
here?"
That's good, though, right? That's where you go on vacation.
Yeah.
I think for the U.S., it's top 1. Worldwide, it's number 2. But I tell you what, you have the whole old Westfield. I tell you, soup to nuts. It's the best. I think you get, even for the travel, everything, you know, you fly in, you have to drive past Ralph Lauren's, like, 1,700-acre ranch. Like,
17,000.
17,000?
17,000? Yeah, no,
1,700.
A lot of acres. You sold a lot of shirts.
Yes. Right. But you got to drive past, you know, hour and a half ride. It's worth it because you realize you're getting to this destination that, like Steve said, is very well planned. It's very well thought out, and it works together.
It's cool too. We talked to one of the guys on the lift, and he was saying that the closest traffic light to Telluride is 45 miles away, That's awesome. It used to be 65 in Montrose where the airport is, but they put another one in another little small town, and they're still a little pissed about that.
45 miles.
Where I live, there's a traffic light like 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great vibe for me. You know what? I'm trying to compare it to Whistler. You know, because Whistler is out of this world. But there's something. There is a charm to Telluride that Whistler I don't think has as much now that it's been built up, and with the Olympics being there in 2010, the new major highways they have going up there. it lost a bit of that. It's still unreal. It's absolutely awesome.
What I like about Telluride has the U.S. Western charm.
And again, that's right.
Like that's that America. Charm.
You can't fake that.
Yeah.
And it has that, and that's part of its heritage, and it gives it that sort of, you know, that amazing feel to it, both old and new together. And it's out of this world. I mean, I was completely, my expectations were blown out of the water.
I guess it's one of the most challenging mountains that I've ever seen. Steep, steep and deep. Be prepared for steep, deep and trees.
Bring your snorkel if it's powder out there.
Yeah.
You're going to need it.
So we have a couple teasers for next couple podcasts. Mario mentioned Cortina, and Brian mentioned Whistler. And we have a couple other things in store as well. We have some experts at boot fittings that we're going to be interviewing, and a few other things.
Yeah, and you know, it's getting towards the end of the season here, but we plan on having a bunch of cool, fun stuff that are ski related, but not about skiing for the summertime. So we're definitely going to keep you entertained. So don't even worry about
that. One of the things I want to get into too is, you know, about like ski stories, tall tales. You know, so we might solicit some of that. So look out for the Twitter and look out for some of the other stuff we have, so that we can get some of that information from people out there. We already have a lot of stories and a lot of tall tales and myths and legends, and it's kind of cool to have some of those to share around with people.
Yeah, the next time we meet, we'll talk to you about the Golden Bone, and we'll hope to get some stories from you guys about who gets the Golden Bone.
Indeed. So yeah, so check us out on Twitter at Ski Bum Podcast, and if you want to email us, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. So thanks for sticking with us. We got more coming up, so we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Ciao. Bye.